These days, I get a lot of questions from investment companies because my background is in memory and SSDs. These days, it's very hot. In Korea, SK Hynix and Samsung Electronics stock prices are soaring every day.
It's definitely a hot topic these days, so I can imagine why a lot of investors would be interested in chatting with you about it. From our perspective, we are interested in technology generally, and it's important for us to understand what's going on in the memory industry. We want to learn more about how the competitive dynamics work and what products might dominate over the coming years. These thoughts have been in our head, and that's what inspired this conversation. Just to let you know from the start, I'm not particularly technical and somewhat new to the memory space, but I'm excited to learn more. I'd be curious to get some more background on yourself. An introduction to your history in the industry would be great.
I joined Samsung in the early 2000s as a software engineer. So I started my career as a firmware engineer for NAND flash. I'm happy to have been a first mover in the SSD industry because Samsung at that time pioneered SSD products, the first product in the world. For 15 years, I developed SSD firmware and SSD controller architecture. So I'm very familiar with SSDs, both on-device SSDs and server-level SSDs. For the last 5 years before I joined my current company, I was involved in the technical team in the US to support our customers, the hyperscalers, and handled product planning and new business development. In that period, I also covered DRAM and HBM, and I worked with NVIDIA and other hyperscalers like Google on new memory architecture to handle AI workload. I'm very familiar with the topic you suggested, how the memory and storage architecture will be evolving depending on AI, especially inference workload. I'm happy to discuss that topic with you. Now I'm working for Mango Boost on DPUs, or data processing units. It's very similar to BlueField 3 and 4 from NVIDIA. It's an advanced SmartNIC, which means not only memory and SSDs, but also I'm looking at the network side these days.
We will certainly get into topics related to SSDs, AI inference, and memory integration. These sorts of topics are front and center for us. I'm excited for those conversations. You've had a lot of experience in this industry, and I'd be curious to get your sense. Given that you've seen memory cycles, generally speaking, in what ways is this cycle similar and different from previous cycles?
That's a very important and interesting question. I have been thinking about that. What's the difference between the previous cyclical pattern and the current upside? This is a kind of black swan effect. Like COVID-19, we didn't expect this kind of explosion. Even though I worked in the memory industry for 24 years, including my colleagues, we didn't expect this kind of memory demand explosion. We were not familiar with AI workloads. We just focused on training first. Every hyperscaler invested a lot in training, but after that, inference became increasingly popular. Including me, people thought inference was just read intensive and user interaction. We didn't expect this kind of demand from inference. The thing is that inference motivates and stimulates end users to generate more data. I asked ChatGPT a lot of personal things and technical things, everything. And there's a chaining effect. Based on the answer from ChatGPT, something occurs to me. How about this? How about that? This kind of interaction log can be fed into another training phase. Inference amplifies data generation. Nobody expected this kind of explosion from the inference use case. That's why I call it a black swan or purple cow. People didn't expect inference to cause this data explosion. But it happened.
What I'm understanding is that it was unexpected that inference would cause substantial amounts of new data to be generated just because of the interaction between customers and the models. That extra data is used in training, which spurs even more memory usage.
You've already experienced ChatGPT memory. ChatGPT understands and memorizes the questions I asked before, so I feel very comfortable. It understands my context. This is all about memory size and memory capacity. The hyperscalers, in order to give end users a better user experience, need to save more context and longer context. That is totally related to memory capacity and memory bandwidth.
In your view, that makes this cycle different than previous cycles.
Totally different cycle, like COVID-19. We didn't expect when COVID-19 would happen or when it would end. We don't know the starting point. We don't know the ending point regarding this AI explosion. For example, who expected the OpenClaw moment to happen or DeepSeek? These days, this kind of uncertain, unexpected moment is happening. which amplifies unexpected memory demand.
Was there a point at which, within the memory companies, there was this realization that they had miscalculated how much memory was going to be needed? Was there a sudden inflection point as it relates to that? I'd be curious if there was, when it was, and some context around what caused it.
From the memory industry's point of view, they didn't prepare for this uncertain, unexpected demand. 2 years ago, the memory industry lost a lot. The situation wasn't good. They shrank investment in the fab. There was a capacity cut. I'm very familiar with this pattern. The memory price goes down, and then Samsung and Hynix reduce their CapEx. They don't invest, which means they control the throughput and the big growth. But as you know, this kind of investment and factory readiness, manufacturing readiness, takes at least 2 years. It's good to invest. Let's go. But the real product will be coming out in 2 years. This kind of asymmetric matching between demand and supply causes the memory cycle. But this time, even though we realized this upside 1 year ago, even though the memory companies invested 1 year ago, the result will be coming out 2 years later. We have to wait at least 1 year to cover the demand. But memory companies are getting smarter and smarter, so they want to enjoy this upside for the time being. They are very reluctant to invest their money in the fab because this upside, this profit, is a very happy situation for them. Unlike the last memory cycle, I feel they are not that willing to pay on investment. They are very conservative these days.
One of the things that's a little curious to me is that it was clear AI was sort of a thing in 2024. The ChatGPT moment was in 2023. In 2024, the world was getting meaningfully excited about AI. It was sort of like AI is going to happen, and the exponential improvement was well underway. One thing that confuses me is why this couldn't be seen sooner within the memory industry, that there was going to be an immense amount of memory needed for what was a clear trend. Am I thinking about that correctly?
This is a moving target. We don't estimate the exact amount of memory capacity. As you know, the competition is also a kind of prisoner's dilemma. They are aware of the competitor's investment. This is a chicken war, a chicken battle. I didn't expect Google and Meta to invest a lot like this, but this is a war, maybe backed by the government, the US government, to compete with China. This is another political driver to invest a lot. That's why the US government declared the AI war is a marathon. Another Manhattan Project, like making the atomic bomb. This is another hidden factor which made this upside happen. Technically, from a use case point of view, inference requires a lot of memory use. And at the same time, the government drives this momentum using the hyperscalers to compete with China. That's why I guess this is not easy to expect or when this cycle ends. If another difficult moment happens again, another ChatGPT moment in the US, this always accompanies computation and memory consumption. Who expects the end of China and US competition?
I'm curious how conversations between hyperscalers and memory companies go. Not specifically, of course. Anything private is private. But the nature of the conversations. Are they demand forecasting? What is the nature of them?
The nature of big company to big company relationships involves regular review sessions called quarterly technical reviews and quarterly business reviews. Every quarter, for example, AWS and Samsung have a review session where they exchange next year forecasts for memory demand, capacity, and growth, as well as price negotiations for long-term or short-term contracts. Before the AI explosion, memory companies and hyperscalers were accustomed to making short-term contracts that could change depending on supply and demand. These days, memory companies cannot fulfill hyperscaler demand. Only 60% is satisfied. There is a big gap of 40%, an unprecedented upside. This is an abnormal situation. Hyperscalers want to make long-term contracts with memory suppliers to secure consistent and stable memory supply, which is understandable. However, memory suppliers do not want long-term contracts right now because memory prices are going up every day. This is an abnormal situation compared to previous negotiation patterns. I do not think this will last long, but at least for 2 years, this situation will persist. It is a supplier-dominated market.
I have some questions about the types of memory that have been used recently or that are native to AI workloads. One of the trends underlying AI proliferation is this vast need for inference compute in the future. perhaps meaningfully more than training over time. The bandwidth needs for training versus inference seem to be very different. I would be curious to ask, maybe 10 years from now, in an inference-heavy world, what type of memory do you think will become the majority of the market over time?
I have thought about that. People say HBM, or high bandwidth memory, is just for training. No, HBM is also necessary for inference. DDR, DRAM, and even flash memory will be necessary, but not as replacements. They form a hierarchy. In the training phase, the early stage of AI, HBM is very important and the dominant factor for training performance. However, in the inference era, the problem is that capacity is also very important and critical, not only memory bandwidth. In order to improve capacity, memory and storage hierarchy is very important. Flash, DDR, and flash memory are necessary not only for bandwidth, but also for capacity. Why does capacity matter? Inference generates endless questions and answers, which should be fed into the training phase next time and must be retained somewhere. That is why even hard disk drive prices are soaring. Again, HBM is still the core high-performance memory, and in order to cover increasing capacity, DDR and even flash memory SSDs will be positioned in the next tier after HBM. A higher hierarchy is necessary for AI inference workload handling. DDR cannot replace HBM. Flash memory cannot replace DRAM. They are complementary, especially in terms of capacity.
That is very interesting. One of the direct questions I was curious to ask you is, because I have heard this theory that NAND could be a replacement for DDR in a very low bandwidth world. Obviously, that is a very extreme scenario. But it is very interesting to hear that in the memory hierarchy, there are use cases for each of the three.
I am very familiar with the characteristics of NAND, the flash memory characteristics. It can never replace DRAM for a clear reason: latency. Flash memory cannot replace DRAM, especially in terms of latency. Latency is still important not only for training, but also for inference. In terms of latency and throughput, flash memory cannot match DRAM. However, another thinking point is the ChatGPT use case. Initially, it was Q&A, and fast response was important. Latency was important. These days, there's thinking, chain of thought, and AI agents starting to think, not just answer questions instantly. This means people have come to know they have to wait, in the worst case, 10 minutes, or maybe 1 minute. 1 minute to 10 minutes is a relatively long time, which means there can be room for flash memory to engage in that environment. If users want a quick answer, like 1 or 2 seconds, flash memory cannot cover that area. However, the AI trend these days, agent AI, thinking AI, allows end users to wait 1 minute, 2 minutes, or something like that. In that case, flash memory speed can be accommodated in the long thinking cycle or agent activities. This is a very interesting use case and a good thing for hyperscale service providers because the slow memory speed can be hidden by this waiting time. Again, for use cases requiring very fast response, HBM and DRAM are very important. For long latency, long waiting answer, and agent AI use cases, flash memory can play the role of tiered memory. That is why I stress the importance of memory and storage hierarchy to handle inference use cases. Very fast response time use cases and long time response use cases will be mixed together.
Outside of DRAM and NAND, are you seeing any technologies reaching the scale needed for AI data centers? Or are they still niche embedded solutions?
You are talking about factors other than DRAM and flash memory that will be important in the AI era?
Do you see any emerging memory architectures that could enter the pyramid?
New memory architecture or new memory technology to handle this situation?
Right. In an AI world, are there emerging memory architectures that are appearing that may work at scale to solve some significant problems?
Two things come to mind. First is in-memory computing. Memory bandwidth is still very important in inference. Every token requires reading the total model parameters. This requires huge amounts of data movement from terabyte scale bandwidth and capacity, which consumes significant energy and time. To resolve this issue, in-memory computing is a natural, intuitive solution. We call it PIM, processing in memory. For example, HBM consists of the core die, DRAM die, and the base logic die. The logic die can be utilized as a processing element. NVIDIA and AMD GPU teams want to put some intelligence in the base die of HBM. This can be a kind of processing memory. Some core or processing elements can be implemented in the base die on the memory side, not the GPU side. This is another trend the industry is looking at. Processing and memory will be an alternative for the memory explosion. The second one is from a flash memory point of view. In-flash computing, like in-memory computing, can be possible because unnecessary data movement can be reduced through in-flash memory computing or in SSD computing. It's the same rationale as in-memory computing. Another trend is that SanDisk and Hynix announced high bandwidth flash, HBF, like HBM. However, there are many questions and challenges about this concept. High bandwidth memory definitely has advantages in terms of bandwidth, power efficiency, and similar metrics. But is high bandwidth flash really helpful? Experts have some doubt about the effectiveness of HBF. From a bandwidth point of view, it will be better compared to traditional NAND flash because of the wide I/O. But energy efficiency and latency still matter. Flash memory's nature means that latency cannot be overcome by just stacking. Latency is still long. Another issue is energy efficiency and power efficiency. Flash memory requires significant power and energy to program and read. High bandwidth flash requires substantial energy consumption. So the efficiency is not as good compared to the original idea. Even though HBF was announced by SanDisk and Hynix, internally they have some doubt about the feasibility of HBF in real applications. However, some experts advocate for the coming of HBF as a complementary solution for HBM, DRAM, and SSD. In summary, first is in-memory and in-storage computing. Second is high-bandwidth flash memory.
One set of questions I have is related to China risk, the memory industry in China. Maybe to start with NAND. In your view, how close are China's domestic producers to being self-sufficient producers of leading-edge stacked NAND at scale?
I'm very concerned about this. From Korea's point of view, it's very threatening. YMTC's wafer bonding technology is very advanced compared to Samsung and Hynix because they were the first mover in wafer bonding. YMTC NAND flash is very advanced. In my personal opinion, there is no big gap between Samsung, Hynix, and YMTC. For example, 2 years ago, Apple qualified YMTC NAND for their iPhone, but the US government banned the importing of YMTC NAND flash. That's why they failed to enter the US market. But that means Apple approved their technology. Apple is very picky, but they qualified YMTC as one of their NAND flash suppliers. This means their technology is almost the same as Kioxia, Hynix, and Samsung. In terms of wafer bonding, YMTC is way better than other competitors. From a NAND view, YMTC is a very strong player in the market. This kind of Trump government banning of importing Chinese semiconductor products has made China's semiconductor players stronger and stronger. Also, the high prices in the memory market create room for more growth in China's semiconductor players. In Korea, several companies have already started to import Chinese memory products, DRAM, SSD, and similar products. We never thought this kind of importing from China would happen. But these days, Samsung and Hynix memory products are too expensive. There's no option. That's why there is significant room for memory growth in China's industry. This will be a boomerang to Korea's semiconductor players. Chinese core competency is getting better and better because of this situation. For DRAM, there is still a gap between Chinese CXMT and Hynix and Samsung. I think the gap is about 1 to 1.5 years. In the case of NAND, it's less than 6 months, but in the case of DRAM, it's 1.5 years. However, this memory shortage situation will accelerate CXMT's growth. I think in 2 years, from a technology point of view, there will be no gap between Chinese companies and other memory companies.
One of the arguments I've heard is that a primary reason DRAM in China hasn't caught up to Western or Samsung and Hynix DRAM levels is because they don't have access to EUV technology. But, on the other hand, not having access to EUV technology in NAND isn't as much of an issue because they're stacking.
Yes.
From that perspective, I'd be curious about why you think DRAM parity is still achievable, given that there's a structural difference there.
The manufacturing technology is totally different between NAND and DRAM. Vertical NAND is possible, which means etching technology and drilling holes is very important. In two-dimensional planar technology, Shrinkage is not that important because vertical growth is what matters in NAND technology. That's why etching solutions are very important, not EUV. However, there is no 3D DRAM yet. They are focused on planar DRAM. In planar technology, shrinkage is the only way to achieve cost reduction. Shrinking means the pattern must be reduced, which is only possible with EUV. The very sharp, small patterns are only possible with EUV equipment. This is the nature of DRAM manufacturing.
The sense I'm getting is that not having EUV makes it more difficult for China's DRAM to match the rest of the world's DRAM. At the same time, I think earlier in this conversation, you noted that you think that gap would shrink within 2 years. Is there a reason why that gap could shrink even without access to EUV?
Chinese engineering and science power is beyond our imagination. Who could have imagined the DeepSeek moment? EUV is a hurdle barrier, but Huawei and other big companies have already started developing their own EUV equipment. It's in the early stages of EUV development, but it's just a matter of time. In 1 or 2 years, they have the market and excellent engineers. It's just a matter of time to secure their own EUV equipment. I heard that Huawei announced they are implementing and making their own EUV equipment. It seems obvious.
Do you feel like this China risk is properly understood in the memory industry?
Personally, I believe this memory upside and memory peak is the last party for Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron. In 2 years, the China risk will be bigger and bigger with real, cost-effective, power-effective products. This is just a matter of time. In 2 years, Chinese products will dominate the memory industry, I think. It's delayed by the Trump government, but it's just a delay.
And perhaps a strengthening tool as well.
Yes, strengthening their capability.
Some questions I have are a little bit more qualitative. I'm curious to get your sense around culture and who you would bet on. I think we've alluded to it, but to start, is there a player within the memory industry whose technical capability you trust more than the others?
I worked for Samsung for 23 years, so I have a better understanding about the internal things at Samsung compared to SK Hynix and Micron. I have some negative feelings about Samsung's growth because a lot of unreasonable things are happening inside, but from the outside, we cannot sense those inactivities. Relatively, Micron is doing well, I feel, because they focus on a very reasonable process of development and reasonable decision-making. At Samsung, too much information is exposed to me, so some negative feelings have occurred because these days, Samsung and SK Hynix are enjoying the benefit without any technical innovation. That's the point. No technical innovation at Samsung and SK Hynix compared to the Chinese companies. This is just the unexpected AI moment benefit. There is no breakthrough in memory technology. Do you see any 3D DRAM? Do you see any local DRAM, PRAM, or MRAM? No, they are just utilizing current DRAM production without any tech innovation. This is a huge risk to SK Hynix and Samsung, especially Samsung. In 2 years, they will see the bottom of their technology status and technology progress, because they are just enjoying this shortage without any big investment in innovation. That's the problem.
I'm curious about your thoughts on the Chinese players. Do you have any stories to illustrate why you feel so confident in the capability of the Chinese memory players? I would be curious if you have any stories around that, if you've interacted with them. Any stories to bring to life for me the force that is Chinese memory companies like YMTC?
Could you be specific with your question? What stories are you asking about? YMTC is doing well. What kind of question do you have?
One of the senses I'm getting through this conversation is the strength within these Chinese memory companies, their forward momentum, their closeness to the current incumbents. I would be curious if you could help bring that to life for me as someone who's not in the memory industry. Are there any stories about interactions you've had that give you this conviction? If so, I'd be curious if you could share them. Personal experiences, that kind of thing.
I heard real feedback from customers who speak well of Chinese products, not only about cost but also product quality, which is very satisfactory. Their technical support is also very satisfactory and getting more mature. This is the real voice for my friends who work for the big hyperscalers in Korea. They don't care about Trump policy or anything like that because this is Korea. They just compare cost, performance, and quality. In that regard, they cannot distinguish between Chinese products and Samsung or other memory products. This is a real practice around me. I feel their product is already realized in our industry. That's the story I've been hearing these days.
That's really helpful, especially coming from customers who don't have the bias that comes from tariffs. If you could invest the majority of your family's money into one of the memory companies for a minimum of 10 years, where would you place your bet?
I didn't expect this question.
We're having fun today.
I think Micron. Micron is doing well because, in my memory, Micron was a very conservative company in investment and securing market share. But they've totally changed these days. They started to increase memory CapEx investment in their fabs, new fabs, not just renovation. That's why they are building the New York site. Previously, they focused on profit rather than market share. But these days, I think they've changed a bit. They're eager to increase their market share because Samsung is not doing well recently. To be honest, they are a U.S. company backed by the U.S. government with a strong market in the U.S. In memory history, Micron was a pioneer in new technology. In that regard, two things stand out. They're increasing investment in capacity because Samsung is the number one capacity player. But Micron is starting to catch up with Samsung and other players. Memory capacity is very important, especially in the memory AI era. This is a strategic change. Their technology is very strong. They caught up with HBM technology very quickly, which is another surprise in this memory industry. I like these two strategic movements. That's why the stock price is very high these days. I think Micron is very promising. Even though Chinese companies are very threatening, I don't feel comfortable investing in those companies because the Chinese government system is not predictable for me.
You've had interactions with some hyperscalers, if I understand properly. Are there hyperscaler companies that you feel are really smart about how they approach memory? When they come to the memory companies, it's just like these guys really know what they're doing. Is there anything like that? I could see it not being that way, but I'm just curious to get any thoughts you have on this.
Google, because they have always been in the first mover position. Right now, they are not only a TPU vendor, but also an AI software vendor with Gemini, based on their strong platform business and a lot of data. Based on their position, they are doing well handling the SCCM. Google has their own strong hardware and software technology, and based on that, they have a very good strategy for handling suppliers like memory vendors. I worked for Samsung for the last 10 years, and Google was a very tough customer in that regard. AWS is very hard to handle in terms of technology enablement, because AWS also secures their own in-house solutions, like in-house SSDs and in-house TPU cards, with very strong technology. But these days, AWS is not that strong compared to Google. This kind of negotiation power always accompanies strong technical strengths. In that regard, Google is a very smart hyperscaler customer.
Generally, are there any sort of under-the-radar risks or opportunities that investors like me are missing in the memory world? This is a very general question.
I think you should consider the interface, like CXL, NVLink, and UALink. This is a kind of memory semantic interface, which means like a interface, not an SSD I/O interface. Right now, the problem is the capacity issue. How do we expand memory capacity? DDR is a parallel interface. HBM is a parallel I/O, you know what I mean? Like 1024 I/O or 2048 I/O for HBM, and 64 I/O or 128 I/O for DRAM. But parallel I/O is technically very difficult to implement. It requires a very short distance between the GPU and HBM or DDR. However, UALink, NVLink, and CXL are serial interfaces, so distance is not that important. In order to expand and increase memory capacity, we can put memory modules a bit farther away, at a distance around the GPU. But with DDR interface or HBM interface, we have to put the memory very near the GPU side. This limits capacity growth because the interposer and the memory at the GPU card have limited area. HBM and DDR have to be very close to the GPU to guarantee signal integrity. But UALink, NVLink, and CXL are relaxed interfaces, serial interfaces that are very strong in terms of signal integrity compared to parallel I/O. In the future, I think memory interfaces will evolve into serial interfaces like these because they can relax the distance limitation from the GPU side. This is one direction I can see.
Last question. Is there anything that I didn't ask that I should have?
Another personal thing. Elon Musk announced that data centers should be sent to space. This makes sense considering SpaceX and Starlink. In the future, memory devices will be exposed to cosmic rays in space and different temperatures. Current memory standards focus on consumer devices like smartphones and PCs. The automotive industry requires different temperature requirements for memory. In the same way, space will require different standards for memory products. It's a totally different environment. Even though there are already satellites with very expensive, very protected memory, data centers require a lot of memory in space. Different technology will be necessary to protect against memory data loss.
Got it. It's still NAND and DRAM, just a change in the way the memory system is architected?
For at least 10 years, there is no alternative to NAND and DRAM.